And welcome back once again to the Parish of the Patriots show. This is the 330th installment. Wow. Before we get into today's show, I little programming note here. I just realized I haven't had the email address up on the page since apparently March. I was wondering. I was like, you know, I haven't gotten any emails in a while telling me the show sucks. And I'm like, maybe it's getting better. But alas, I realized I was going through and looking, and I'm like, hey, the email isn't up there. I must have missed it last week. And I looked at the week before, and I had to start going through, and it was finally all the way back in March. Last time it was up there. The email is still good, by the way. You don't need to drop me a note telling me the show sucks. By the way, I don't need that. Probably will anyway. Hell, I should have probably kept my mouth shut. Not like I'm gaining anything for pointing it out. But it is there. It is there. So if you were wondering, like, maybe I did away with email, I did not. I just screwed up and didn't get it up there. And then it just kept rolling that way. So, and if you do get something out of the show, we do, of course, have our snail mail address there. That's what I've got. I don't have any Bitcoin, Ethercoin, meme coins, whatever the hell else. I don't have any of that. So I got that. I've got snail mail. You can address an envelope. Drop it in there. We don't have any of that this week because I do this for free. I do it for free regardless. You know, you send nothing and you still get the show. So it's all good. But if you do get something, you want to put something, it's there for you. You can do that if you want to do that. We do continue to count down the days when Sven is back. We're looking forward to it. Nobody's looking forward to it more than I am. It's going to be great. I'm looking forward to it. It won't hopefully be too long. We still got a little ways to go, but we see a light at the end of the tunnel. I know all of y'all are looking forward to it, and I am for sure, and he is still continuing to do well, by the way. There's not a lot I can share there, but he is doing fine. He's kind of in that home stretch, so we just got to be patient and wait for him to get through that home stretch. We do have a Christian-specific segment. That's roughly the halfway point of this show. I think this show is going to be one of those rare occasions, honestly. I think the first half of the show is going to be better. Usually I finish a show, and I feel like the Christian-specific segment is always the highlight of the show. That's why I do the show. But this week, I think the first part of the show might actually be better, because I already had some stuff jotted down during the week that I thought we'd get into in the Christian-specific segment. But then recently, just, you know, like yesterday, the topic I want to get into for the first part of the show came up. And I think it may be a little better. May get a little more out of it. We'll see. I will be a little preachy in some of this first part of the show this week. Not too much. Well, maybe. I don't know. We'll just see where we go with it. Anyway. And just, we had down further south from where I'm at, we hadn't had that much rain here where I am at, but you've probably heard about it or seen about it. But I'm recording this on Saturday, by the way. This is one of the, I'm kind of back on my weekend routine now, where I'm recording this show on Saturday. So, you know, yesterday, you know, over the past couple of days, we had a lot of rain concentrated in the center of the state here in Texas, and they've had a lot of flooding. And, you know, it's bad. It's bad. Again, this is nowhere near me. I'm further north. We've gotten like half inch of rain and that's it. But it's bad. A lot of people have lost their lives. And one of the things that really struck me is there was apparently like a kid's summer camp or something along the river. And these kids were, I guess, staying in little cabins or something. They were basically camping. And, you know, the river came down and washed so many people and it washed a bunch of these kids out. And, you know, I mean, somebody was showing, you know, I saw where people, you know, pictures of these kids with their parents' phone numbers on there, just hoping to hear something. And it just really, you know, it just hits you. And this is why I thought we'd get into discussing, because this is tragic. And that's why I thought we'd get into talking about dealing with tragedy, because it happens. And we go through our lives kind of in a routine and finding comfort. And it's so easy to assume that things are just going to keep going on, you know? And we forget that tragedy can swoop in anytime. You know, it can be there. I can't imagine being a parent and you send your kid off to, you know, go to this camping, summer camp. Maybe they really wanted to go or something. And you send them to a summer camp and the next thing you know, they're gone. You know, you don't even have, and you're wondering where they're even at. You know, I mean, you know, they're gone from this world, but you don't even have their body there to grieve over. I can't even imagine what that's like for a parent. And I thought we'd talk about things surrounding tragedy. Now, one of the first things you're going to have people that will look at this and they'll deal with it, you know, because it's not them. They read us something like this and their response will be something along. Anytime, it doesn't matter what happens. I'm just using this tragedy as an example, but it doesn't matter what the tragedy is. People will say it. Something along this lines. Well, shouldn't have sent your kid to the summer camp, huh? I wouldn't send my kid to a summer camp. That's the kind of stuff that happens. Why would you send your kid? That's your fault for sending him to... You know, people will do that because they want to believe... They want to come up with a reason why that couldn't happen to them. Straight up. And I say it doesn't matter what the tragedy is or what, you know, what befalls somebody. Other people will look at it and find a way to make it that person or the person's family or whatever, make it their fault. It's their fault. I wouldn't have done that. You have to understand that people do that because they want to believe that couldn't happen to them. And all that, that's all that is. When somebody says, well, I would never, you know, something along the lines of, well, I'd never send my kid to summer camp. That's kind of, you know, if you wouldn't have done that, your kid would be alive. Because I can guarantee you someone somewhere is saying that. People say things like that. And again, it doesn't matter what the tragedy is. There will be people that will blurt things out or will say things. But basically, when you get down to the core of it, is why it wouldn't happen to them. Life comes at you fast. Death comes at you faster. And it can come a knocking at any time. And people want to believe that, no, it's not going to happen to them. You know, that's not going to happen to me. And here's the reason why. Because I'm smarter. I would make a different choice. You see this in, if you watch videos where people are analyzing crashes, like car crashes or airplane crashes, and you'll have people that will be in the comments of the videos, and it's always full of people explaining how they would never make that mistake. And you can bet that person that it befell probably was one of those people at some point too. They just want to believe it wouldn't happen to them. It's scary. They want to think, well, that's an outlier and I can make decisions differently and it won't happen to me. If you're on the receiving end of a tragedy, don't listen to that shit. Even if it comes from you. I can imagine you, because as a parent, I think of what these parents are going through, missing their children. And, you know, as men, we take responsibility. Women aren't going to understand this, and a lot of people in society, but as actual men, a man always is looking to take responsibility, regardless of what the bullshit media says. Men are always, and the problem with that is, it turns into blaming yourself, you know? Well, what could I have done different? You know, what could I have, you know, in other words, I have no doubt with parents sitting around wondering, well, if they're even going to recover their children's bodies. I can guarantee you there are men sitting around thinking how this is their fault because they should have made a different decision. They should have done something different. Look, none of us have the ability to see the future. If you didn't do that, you didn't go drown your kid. And again, please remember that you can apply this thinking and these thought processes to any tragedy. Look, you didn't go drown your kid. You didn't see the future. You didn't send them thinking, whew, I won't have to deal with them anymore. Don't do that. If tragedy befalls you as a man, when you start that process of it's all my fault, you've got to stop that. You know it's not. Did you make decisions and because of those decisions, a tragedy has happened? Yes, but you didn't make those decisions intentionally. And it's when you're talking about something like this, you have no way of knowing that was going to happen. You're not omnipotent. You can't see the future. This is why you got to not listen to those people posting online saying that wouldn't happen to me because I wouldn't. Don't do that. Just don't even read that shit. Another thing is, look, God didn't do this. Jesus didn't. Things just happen. I will hear people on both sides of that. Non-believers will sit here and say, well, if your God is so loving, he cares about you, why does something like this happen? Why would God have water come and drown all these children? Where's your God now? Not micromanaging our lives. That's where he is. And on the flip side, you will have Christian believers say, well, we can't understand why God's will is what it is, but it was God's will your children were taken. No, it wasn't. These things just don't tempt somebody to then blame God for killing their kids. Things happen. I know people don't want to think that because that means it could happen to them. Yes, it can happen to you. God didn't send the floodwaters to drown your kids. He's not micromanaging our lives. We really are in this realm and for a temporary time, and we don't know how much of that time that is. For some, it's very short. For some, it's longer. And things happen. It just tragedy befalls us, It does. When a deer is out walking around minding their own business and someone shoots them because it's deer season, that deer had no idea that was fixing to happen. And we're no different in that respect, in those regards. We're just out here. We're living the best life we can. And sometimes death is there waiting for us. Jesus didn't do it. These are things that happen. Now, I want to pause here a minute and kind of explain a little bit of what happens here. Because people don't understand, if you're not from here or you haven't experienced it, this is a phenomenon that we refer to as the river coming down. You will hear people that are familiar with it. And this isn't necessarily a phenomenon you're going to find in other states. But when you hear people that live in these areas, in our area, and they'll talk about, the river coming down, people don't understand what that means. Think of it like a river version of a tsunami. That's what it means when the river comes down. I was at a state park, and I don't remember where it was. It was somewhere down in kind of that area, and I was just checking it out, and there was kind of more or less a dry river bottom in there, and they had these big signs up, because people, of course, always want to camp by the river. We've been doing that. It goes back forever, right? We always would camp by the river. And there's these big signs with these flashing lights and sirens mounted on it. And I'm looking at this sign, and it says, when the river comes down, we'll try to set these lights and sirens off. And when you hear them, I'm paraphrasing because it was a lot of years ago. If you hear these lights or if you hear these sirens going off or see these lights flashing, don't try to pick up your camp. Get up and run. You don't have time to take your tent down. Get up and start running. That's what it means for the river to come down. Here's the other thing. it doesn't even have to rain where you're at. Now, it was raining where this happened. It can be raining. A personal experience. I was driving along one day, and we're going down this little two-lane paved road, what we call farm-to-market roads here. And where it crosses the river, there wasn't a bridge. It was just a low water crossing. The road just goes down and boop, dips. This is a sunny day. It hadn't rained. It was just a sunny day, average sunny day. And when it went through the low water, went over the low water crossing, the river was maybe just a foot wide, half an inch trickle across that low water crossing. Got to where we was going and probably spent a couple hours or so there. We're coming back. And we come down the road, drop off the hill to the low water crossing. And the river It was probably, say, 30 foot across now. Probably about 3 foot deep and running. Hadn't rained, nothing. The river came down. That's what it does. It will come down like a wall of water. It will rise so fast that like that. So if you come here on vacation and you naturally want to camp along rivers, just be aware that that can happen. Be aware that the river can come down. If there's a big, huge rain upstream, even if it ain't raining where you're at, it can come down. I just wanted to give some background because a lot of people that aren't familiar, how does it come up so fast? How is it that, you have this rain and you don't figure out that the water is going to come up because it comes down like a wall. I mean, it comes down really, really fast when the river comes down. Anyway, tragedies come upon us. People don't like it because it reminds us all of our own mortality. How quickly death can come upon us. You're going about your life, you're going about your business, and then just out of the blue, Something comes on you. It comes on you real fast. You start off thinking you're going to have... I heard a story that, of course, there's RV parks and people are camping in the RVs. The river came up. The river came down, rather. The water came up. And, people were being swept out. And people were saying they could hear families screaming in their camping trailer while it's being swept down the river. We don't like facing our own mortality. We go through our routines and we go through our lives with things. Most days are just like more or less like the day that came before, and we find comfort in that. We find, it enables us to believe that tomorrow will be just like today, which was just like yesterday. Things will just keep going along the same. But sometimes it don't. And again, these things happen. It sounds condescending, but the correct answer is these things happen. It's not God's will that your kids are dead now. That these things happen. This is a part of being in this world, which is always temporary. Whether you live to be old or whether you make it 10 years old, this life is temporary. It's a matter of scale. And these things simply happen. We do our best to foresee them. That's part of just the survival instinct. We do our best to foresee and stay out of situations, as we should. But sometimes it comes out of nowhere. Sometimes it comes from some direction that you're not even expecting. And it just comes up and it just happens. With all your good intentions, with all the best decisions, you may not have made any decision that was wrong. And it could still just come in on you. And that's just how life is. It's important to be able to process because you don't know. You may go through your life and nothing ever hits you like this. Or it might. You got to be able to process it and as thoroughly and quickly and in as timely manner, I should say, as you can, because you're going to have to pick up and keep going. Life doesn't stop. If you survive, you got to pick up and keep going. You got to figure out, okay, well, what do I do now? You know, you lose everything you had. Tornado comes through and wipes out everything. You got a flood, whatever. Okay, now what? Now, you know, again, as men, we have to look around and say, okay, well, that happened. What do I do now? Well, let's see. We're going to have a place to live. I'm going to have to figure something out. And we start moving forward. As long as you're stuck in the blame yourself game, you're not focusing on, okay, what do I got to do next? Because most of the time, ain't no one coming to fix it. You think these people, who know, forget, of course, nobody can bring back your dead loved ones. But people who have lost their homes, people who have lost, you know, everything they built up with over their lives through this, who knows how much damage is done. And we all know, you know, unless you have specific flood insurance, you're out of luck. Hell, insurance point, a lot of people can't even afford insurance anymore. The government ain't coming to help. We know that. You think the government, they'd probably show up for some photo ops or something. But if the government has a choice of spending $10 billion to help people rebuild their homes or send $10 billion to Israel so, you know, they can kill some more Palestinians or launch some more missiles at Iran, which do you think they're going to do? It's a rhetorical question. We know what they're going to do. Israel is always going to be at the front of the line before you are. And it's just how it is. And you have to understand that. And you just, you know, she says, okay, what do I got to do? I got to get a shelter over, you know, I got to get a roof over my family's head one way or the other. You know, if that means getting a shipping container brought in here, so at least we're out of the rain, that's what we're going to do. We're going to figure something out. Because ain't nobody else coming. The government, they're too busy doing what they do. When I jotted this topic down, I jotted it as, you know, dealing with tragedy. And that's probably what I'll title this show. Dealing with tragedy, learning, you know, being able to have the mindset to deal with it is because, again, as men, we don't have the luxury of spending a lot of time working through it. The faster we can work through things, the sooner, because it's going to fall on you. It's going to fall on you as a man to pick it up. Your family, you know, if you lose everything you have, your family is looking at you. I don't care how much of an independent woman your wife thinks she is. She's looking at you, figuring out what you're going to do. And it's going to fall to you. If you're stuck in this spiral of this is somehow all my fault, look, you got to get past that shit. You know, we make the best decisions we can. We don't have the ability to see the future. And regardless, what you're dealing with is what you're dealing with. Now, what do you do? What do you do moving forward? Okay, well, let's see. We need shelter. We need food. We got to get a base of operations going here. What am I going to do that? Because again, your family's looking at you trying to figure out now what, you know, what's he going to do now? They may not say it, but that's what they're doing. And you only have so much time to process things. And then you got to start figuring out, okay, what do we do next? What's the most practical thing we can do next? It just, again, fairness doesn't factor into it. This is just life. There's nothing fair about losing everything you have. There's certainly nothing fair about sending your kids off for a camping trip and they never come home. There's nothing fair about that, okay? God didn't do it. This is what life is. Go to a cemetery sometime. I think it's one of the most healthy things you can do. Go to an old cemetery, one that's been around for a long time, and look at all the children's graves. There's a bunch. Those from around the turn of the last century, from the 1800s, early 1900s. Walk around and look at how many children's graves. I've seen graves where there's children just boom, boom, boom. Like every year they would have a child that died in the same family. Dude, we've gotten to a point we forget. You know, there's nothing fair about that. This is how life is. We've just kind of forgotten that sometimes. And we fool ourselves into thinking that everything's just going to keep going the way it is. And it does. Right up to the point that it doesn't. This is a reality of life. You can't go around being petrified by fear. You go through your lives, make the best decisions you can. But always be aware that sometimes tragedy come at you out of nowhere. Anyway, we're going to go ahead and get into the Christian specific segment, I suppose. I don't know. You know, I'm pretty jaded. You know, I've seen things. I keep up on news. I see things that happen to people. You know, and, you know, just the older you get kind of jaded. It is part of it. And then there's just things you see that just strike you. You know, when there's pictures of people's kids on the internet with their phone numbers desperately trying to fix hope, trying to hold on to some kind of hope, that just hits. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. That just hits. That just hits hard. It's just a reminder. It can happen. It can happen out of nowhere. It can come out of the blue. And yeah, unfortunately, when it does, if it does, you're going to have to work through that as well and quickly as you can and keep moving forward. Because again, that's tragedy. It's just a part of life. Anyway, let's just go ahead and we're just going to go ahead now. I got myself all bummed out here. Let's take a breath. Let's go ahead and move in to the Christian specific segment here at the Parish of the Patriots. Because we're in a time of upheaval, political upheaval, the American Empire and the current order is starting to very noticeably decay, noticeably to the point that your average normie is seeing it. And as a normal part of this, people are starting to become more and more focused and going on about the end days. And I thought we'd get into that a little bit. And it's funny because I see some stuff that has been nonsensical that you can go all the way back to the early church, to the founding of the church by the early apostles. For instance, I saw somebody post, there's apparently a thing, I didn't know this, and I saw someone posting this on the internet the other day, but there's apparently a belief that Jesus has already returned. You see, Jesus has already returned. He reigned for 1,000 years, and now, you see, we're in the little season where the devil is running things. And I immediately thought of the early church when the apostles were saying that there were those running around saying the resurrection had already happened, that Jesus had already returned, and everybody had just somehow missed it. And they were rebuking people for this belief. And I thought, you know, the more things change, the more they stay the same. It sounds, as we get into this, it sounds hypocritical of me, and I know it as I say it. But a lot of times, I do think that, you know, our ancestors who thought it was a really bad idea to give everybody access to the Bible, I'm not sure they were wrong. And again, I get that sounds hypocritical coming from me, but I see people so far off the mark. And here's the thing, a lot of times the people that are way off the mark, you know, are preachers, are people who have gone to seminary school and supposedly got educated. You know, I can't tell you. I have people in conversation, just normal, everyday conversation, and people will say, you know, well, my preacher says this, or I asked my preacher that, and he says this, and it's so far off the mark. I'm like, how is somebody that's gone to school for this, and is, you know, got a degree supposedly in this? How are they that far off the mark? And believe me, I don't mean that to sound arrogant in any way, shape, or form. But I mean, I'm blown away because This comes back to most, we can get into details, but most of this isn't that complicated. I mean, it's really not. God's not going to make something overly complicated where you can't figure it out. For instance, this nonsense that Jesus has already returned. Look, when Jesus returns, you're going to know it. That's why he told us, don't worry about people saying he may be over here. I heard he could be over here. When he returns, time will cease to exist. You know, it says the dead, you'll see the dead up walking around. What does that mean? Because when Jesus returns, it means he's ending time itself. He's taking the lid off the box, as it were. It ends this realm. He takes time out of it. That's why you're going to suddenly see dead people, because you're going to have, there is no time separating you any longer. So there's going to be no doubt. It's like, Jesus returned. Oh, really? Let me check. Nope, we're still, time marches on, as they say. It amazes me that people get so far. Then you get into this discussion of the end times. And again, I was talking to somebody recently about this as this conversation came up, and I said, you know, about whether or not we are in the end times, because, you know, it gets pointed out that preachers have been saying that for several generations now. And it's like, well, we are in the end times, but when somebody says we're in the end times, how long do they think it's going to last? 2 weeks? We're in the end days. Yes. Next week. So don't plan anything for the end of the year. It just simply doesn't work that way. I do believe we're in the end times. When you look at this world today, and I don't just mean how screwed up it is or how sinful it is. Let's look at technology. Let me back up a little bit. One of the arguments I saw being made about this idea that Jesus already returned. Somebody said, well, do you really think a bunch of peasants built those beautiful, you know, cathedrals and stuff? You see these hundreds of year old cathedrals. You really think? And the answer is yes. Yes, I do. I mean, they probably didn't design them. There was probably somebody doing more of the math. But as far as, but yes, I do. And people just can't imagine it, because they assume that people say 500 years ago, 1,000 years ago, whatever you wanted to, must have been really stupid. You notice that? There's this assumption, oh, these people were just a bunch of common farmers out there digging in the dirt. That must mean they were really stupid. And yet, if you took anybody today, took away their smartphone from them, and kicked them off into a little, say, 3-4 acre plot, and gave them some hand farming tools, and said, okay, you've got you've got 6 months to scratch you out a living and get yourself something to eat for the winter time. They're all going to starve to death. They ain't got a clue. And so that person's dumb. You know, see what is dumb, who is stupid and who is not, as a matter of perspective. Years ago, I remember, like many, many decades ago, a truck driver was telling me, you know, he was seeing his dentist. And this old truck driver said he was talking to the dentist, and in the conversation, the dentist made a snide remark about stupid truck drivers or something like that. And the old truck driver looked at the dentist and says, so if you climb up in the cab of my truck, do you think you could drive it? The dentist kind of uncomfortably laughed and said, well, no. So who's stupid? You know, yeah, if you're laying there wanting to get a root canal, the dentist is the smartest man in the room. But if you stick him in the cab of the truck, you know, looking at a 13-speed Road Ranger, he's not going to be able to get it even to move, much less up to highway speed. It's a matter of perspective. The people then knew how to make a living for themselves in harsh conditions and keep going. We have technology, and this is why I wanted to preface that. People make this mistake that having technology means we're smart. See, I think people are dumber now than they've ever been. I really do. They think they're smarter because they have more gadgets. because they have more technology. But I believe, and I bet a lot of you agree with me, that people are dumber now than they've ever been. They just have more gadgets. Now you may be sitting there, understandably so, thinking, what does this have to do? You're getting way off track. I think technology. Now, one of the things I do think that makes this the end day is the technology. And let's explain that. And that's why I kind of wanted to preface that this, where we're going with my belief that people are dumber now. Just think of the Greeks who figured out pi. If we had no concept of pi today, how many people do you think are on the face of this planet that are smart enough without any concept of it having been set down before them before, could sit around and figure out, no gadgets, none of that, no cheat codes, just come out with their own brain power and figure out pi? Oh, they present to us these geniuses, and most of them are frauds. You know, people say, he's no Einstein. That may be a compliment. He's a fraud. He stole all his ideas from someone else. Stephen Hawking, he was a genius. How do we know this? They present these people to us and tell us they're genius. Do you think any of these people, without any computers, without any gadgets, they're working off of something somebody came up with so long ago? They thought, sat around and worked on it and figured out pi. Ain't nobody going to figure out pi now. Now, somebody will say, well, if they were so smart, how come they didn't invent a computer? What do you think would be harder? Look, I'm taking way too long to get to the point, and I realize that. No, there's virtually nobody today smart enough that would, starting from nothing, would wind up coming to figure out pi. And yet, you have a point in time, let's say roughly the late 1800s, around the turn of the last century, around late 1800s, 1900s, and you have this explosion in technology. You know, in 1900, if you were somebody sitting around 1900 dreaming of flying, it was just a dream, you know? You'd think, you imagine some way to fly, and you're trying to figure out how to put bird's wings on your arms or something. And yet, 60 years later, a lifetime later, in other words, if you were 5 years old at 1900 and you were a kid sitting around dreaming about flying, and it was just a distant fantasy, by the time you were 65 years old, there would be planes breaking the sound barrier. That's not normal. You have this full long history. And we know that people didn't just overnight suddenly get smarter. Again, nobody was going to figure out pi on their own. People, I believe, are collectively getting dumber. We may be at the ignorance apocalypse now. The retard eclipse. And yet, you have this explosion of technology. Why? Why is that? Or maybe more importantly, where does that come from? It didn't come organically. I'm sorry. It just, there's, you look at history, thousands of years worth of history, and yes, you have this slow, organic growth in knowledge. Then all of a sudden you have this just explosion of technology. You know, where does it come from and what has it led to? I'll be honest, my personal opinion, I think it's from the devil. I sound like a crackpot lunatic preacher or something somewhere, you know? It's from the devil. But is that wrong? I mean, you think about the people that got mocked at, you know, just a few generations back, you know, the old timers that would say TV is the devil. You letting the devil come in your house, and the TV is going to bring all this evil in your house. And everybody snickered and laughed how stupid and backwards they were. They just don't understand technology. But you look at people's behavior today and the way the TV has manipulated people's behavior and their beliefs. They don't seem so stupid. Those old or ancestors who came before us, those who came before us, our forefathers who warned us that the TV was the devil. They don't seem so stupid now, do they? You know? They were just a little ahead of their time. I've always said one of the things, how do I look at computers and the internet? You know, look, I'll be the first to say they're a tool. You use them for what you're going to, you know, it's your decision to use them for. And I think that's a hint. And I'll get to that here in just a minute. You know, you look at computers and the internet today, and we do this show and we talk about these truths and we try to, you know, come to a greater understanding of God. And we're using the internet and this computer and our computers to do that. But make no mistake, do you think that's what most people are using their computers and the internet for? What do you think, just imagining, what do you think the ratio is between people who are using their computers and the internet to gain an understanding about the Lord and gain in wisdom and knowledge and grow spiritually versus those who are surfing porn? What do you just imagine the ratio is? Because I'm going to tell you, I don't think we're on the winning side of that ratio. I think we're definitely going to be in the minority there. You know, when I was a kid, like in junior high, you know, if you wanted to see, because boys will be boys. And if you wanted to see pictures of naked women, you were out of luck. Unless you had a friend whose neighbor had a subscription to Playboy and kept all the magazines up in his attic. And then y'all would like squirrel your way up there and lift some of them. And then you're looking at these, and they just booby shots, you know, and they just, oh my gosh. Now, a 13-year-old can fire up his computer or his smartphone and watch the most, just whatever degenerate form of pornography you want to imagine. Forget just naked pictures of women. Your 13-year-old can be sitting around watching gangbangs. Tell me, and you see, yes, it's just a tool. Which means you have a choice. And see, this is another thing that's always a dead giveaway, that it's from the devil. The devil always will give you a choice. You want to always remember that, because he is the accuser. The devil will always give you a choice. He will make it a difficult choice as he can. He will even try to convince yourself that you don't have any other choice when you do. But there's always going to be a choice involved. You can sit here and fire up the computer and learn about the Lord, or you can sit here and watch degenerate pornography. It's your choice. That way you can stand accused. You see, in other words, this technology is taking us somewhere. Do we think it's taking us somewhere better? We look around at the world today. Well, I don't live like the Amish. I'm not, you know, I'm keep it real. I don't live like the Amish. I live more simply than a lot of people, probably the majority of people, mostly just because I don't have very much money. But you know, I enjoy technology as much as I ain't out riding around in a horse and buggy or something. But the reality is, when we look at the overall direction society is going, you know, is technology lifting people up, or is it really dragging our societies down? I think that question really answers itself, because it's pretty obvious. Now, with all this talk of end days and the devil giving you choice and the devil being accuser, this brings us back around to, because it goes hand in hand with the idea of judgment. And I don't know how many times I see people talk about judgment, and they will say something along the lines of imagining themselves standing before God, explaining themselves, explaining to God. I don't know how many times. I remember being a young person growing up and in church, and the preacher, you know, would say something like, basically, Jesus is going to be your defense attorney at the judgment. And this is so far off base. And I have to say, I have this different view of judgment, which we'll get into. And it's funny to me because I had this view of judgment, and then I was listening to one of Dr. Johnson's show. It's been some time back, and he was on this topic. And of course, he being Orthodox, he was explaining the Orthodox view of judgment. And it really just filled in the gaps of my own view of it. You know, it basically lined up with my own, but I had gaps, and it's like, it filled that in. I wanted to put that out there so you wouldn't be like, man, you're just copying what Dr. J said. No, he's right. You know, when you seek truth, you kind of come, you're going to wind up in the same point, if that makes sense. And when he explained the Orthodox view of it, I'm just like, that filled in all the blanks, because I knew this whole Western style courtroom scenario of judgment is absurd. It's not hard. But I would hear preachers say, Jesus is going to be your defense attorney. Well, who's the judge? God the Father is the judge. Okay. And the devil is going to be standing there. He's the prosecutor. He's trying to prosecute you, send you to hell. How absurd is this? And this is the way so many people view judgment. This is probably going to be the better part of this segment. This is the way the majority of people view judgment. As an American courtroom, good night. Can you imagine? Let's break this down, why this is, because it's one thing for me to sit here and say, this is stupid, this is absurd. But I'm, you know, that just sounds like, you know, insulting other people's point of view. We're going to talk about why it's absurd. Let's take this. And again, I'm not just making a straw man. I have literally heard preachers on more than one occasion basically describe the judgment of this. You're going to be sitting on the witness stand. You're going to be standing up in the courtroom. Everybody looking at you, and you're having to tell the judge, the Father, the Lord God Almighty, about every one of your sins and explain yourself. You're staring down the barrel at condemnation, but see, you got Jesus there, and Jesus is objecting on your behalf. Jesus is standing there, and as your defense attorney, while Satan is over there as the prosecutor railing accusations at you. Let's break this down one piece at a time, because there's so much levels of falsity to this view. First off, why would you be explaining your sins to God? The insinuation is he doesn't know. If he's an American courtroom judge, What happens? And, you know, in theory, what happens? We know what the American justice system is like and how it actually functions. So we're going to pretend that it functions like they tell us it does. The judge is trying to decide the facts of the case. In other words, the judge goes into your trial with no idea what the facts of the case are. So if judgment is like this, and God the Father is sitting there like a Western, like an American courtroom judge, then this insinuates he has no clue what you've done. He has no idea. You're going to have to stand there and read out the charges brought against you and explain it, because God just doesn't know. Next, this notion that you're going to be explaining your sins to God. What's there to explain? No, seriously, what exactly are you explaining? You basically would be making justifications, right? Which kind of renders the judgment, that turns it on its head. And I'll get to that here in a minute. But this idea that you're going to explain, look, there's nothing to explain. We all like to make excuses for our sins and why we do the things we do that we know we shouldn't do. At the end of the day, we just make up excuses and tell them to ourselves. We make the choice. That's it. We make the choice. That's why we do it. Nobody's making us do it. We have all kinds of justification. Well, yeah, but we make the choice. There's nothing to explain, in other words. Well, you can explain to God. Here's my reasons, though. It's silly. Finally, we know that the Father is in the Son is in the Father, and the Holy Spirit is a part of the One. See, this gets into a fallacy that there's like no connection between the Father and the Son. No idea where the Holy Spirit is supposed to fit in this courtroom scenario either. If we know that the Father is part of the Son part of the Father, then in your courtroom judgment scenario, what? The Lord is arguing with himself? Are we painting the Lord as a schizo now? Arguing with himself. We ought to really condemn this guy. Well, I don't know, so not so quick. How does this make any sense? It doesn't. It doesn't make any sense because it's silly. And what the hell would be the point? I mean, what would be the point of life? Life is think of this life as a vetting process. I come back to this because you have to understand the meaning of life to understand any of this other stuff. Why we're even here. God put us here because he's looking for an excuse to send us to hell. That doesn't make any sense. Just on the basis of it would be a waste of his time. So life is a vetting process. You're going to hire somebody to do a job. If you've ever hired somebody to do a job, you don't just go grab some rando off the street. No, you look at their application. You look at their resume. You sit down and talk to them. You try to figure out, well, are they going to be able to do the job or not? This whole life is a vetting process to figure out if we're going to be able to do it. If we're going to be able to do the job. You get to vet us. See if we make the cut or not. If we're made of the right stuff. It's a vetting process. That's the whole point. Judgment is about getting rid. And I said this earlier. I referenced earlier. What would we be doing arguing? How would we be explaining ourselves, our sins? That comes back to there's nothing to explain. You just stand there and gibberish, blurt out your justifications. Judgment's the opposite of that. It's getting rid of those justifications. It's getting, because those are not truth. We get rid of the justifications that we build up for ourselves to excuse our decisions. That's what it is. Now we know judgment starts with the church. So we're the first ones to get drug into the American courtroom? No. It makes sense. Judgment starts with the church. Why? Because as I've said to the point, y'all are probably sick of me saying it, we're going through the process now. Everybody goes through judgment. We're just spreading it out over our lifetime on this earth. We go through this process of constantly reevaluating ourselves, questioning our motives, and working on stripping away those justifications. So we're going through it. I would, given the choice, and we are given the choice, most people are blind to what that choice is. Given the choice of ripping the justifications off all at once, just going through blind, justifying our sin, justifying our sinful behavior, and then all of a sudden we're in judgment and we have to look at ourselves for what we are. And all of those justifications we've comforted ourselves with are ripped off all at once and we see ourselves for what we are. Versus you spread the process out over your lifetime and work through it slowly. I'm taking that second option, the lifetime option. It's going to be a lot less traumatic than ripping them off all at once and seeing, oh gosh, here all this time I thought I was a decent person and it turns out not so much. Versus working through your life and working through those, constantly stripping them and whittling away and working on the truth and working on yourself. Plus, you become a better person in this life and you keep building up and you keep growing. Judgment starts with the church because we're already doing it. So, of course, it starts with the church. We're the ones doing it now. Everybody else is just wandering around through life. It makes a lot more sense than this Western-style courtroom scenario, doesn't it? I mean, really, it does. And as I said before, I saw this Western-style courtroom idea as silly many, many years ago, and I had my own views on this. And then it was really nice to hear that show sometime back from Dr. Johnson where he talked about the Orthodox view of judgment, and it really filled in the blanks on my own view, and it pretty much lined up. So it's not just me pulling this is your opinion, because it lines up with the Orthodox view. You know, so it's not just me saying it, in other words. The Orthodox view lines up with what I'm saying. Looking at yourself and facing you for who you are. I'll take the idea of going through my life working on that process versus just running through life being ignorant and blind and then ripping it all off at once and seeing myself for who I am. And there's no time left to improve on myself. I will take the other option any day of the week. Look, let's wrap this whole thing up. We are in the end days. Absolutely. The technology is the defining thing, I think, that gives it away. That doesn't mean we know the day or the hour. Jesus said, look, you don't know the day or the hour, but you can look, you know, just like you're discerning the seasons, you can look around and figure it out that you're close, you're in the area. You don't know when the day is, but you know where you're at. Look, with this technology and looking how it all came in at once and where things are headed, we see we're in the end days. For you as a believer, that really doesn't change anything. I mean, yes, you have to gird your loins, so as to speak, and understand and be prepared for things to come. But what you have to do in your personal life, day in and day out, doesn't change. You know, Jesus said, blessed be the servant when the master comes. He finds him busy doing the work he was assigned to do. Everybody else running around acting a fool, and you're still here. You're still working. You're still doing what you're supposed to do, even with the world on fire around you. That's it. Doesn't change what you're supposed to do. You know, doesn't mean suddenly you're responsible for things you have no control over. God is not unreasonable. You just got to keep at it. Keep it what you're supposed to be doing. Are things going to get worse? Of course they're going to get worse. You know, I mean, of course. Are people more degenerate now than they were 100 years ago? Absolutely. You know, I mean, is the world getting more sinful or less? But again, it doesn't change what you have to do. You know what you have to do. You know what the Lord has assigned you to do in this life. Just keep at it. Just keep at it. Everybody else going crazy, just keep your head down. Yeah. I often think I've used this illustration before, but you imagine like you're in one of the battleships or something back in World War II or something, and you're the guy down in the engine room and you can hear all the explosions and the guns going off and planes flying over and bullets ricocheting off the hull, and you have no idea how it's going. You have no idea what's going on out there You can tell the battle's raging. You don't know if you're winning. You don't know if you're losing. All you know is you got to keep that engine running. And you just think, if I keep the engine running, it's all going to work out. Everybody else is going to do their jobs. We're going to come out of this. You know, it's like that. You're in the engine room. You can hear all this stuff going on. You can hear the bombs going off. You can hear the guns firing and people screaming and hollering and all of that. Look, if you lose your head and go running around, trying to crawl around and figure out what's going on, the engine's going to quit running and the boat's going to get sunk. So, believer, you got to keep the engine running. You know what you've got to do. At the end of the day, you keep on doing it. Anyway, we're going to keep on doing these shows. I hope you got something out of it. Appreciate you tuning in this week. I hope you enjoy the rest of your week. And of course, I do hope to see you back here next week for the Parish of the Patriots.